Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Our audio was a bit worse this time. You will hear. We're sorry. We are working to provide you with better sound. Please, enjoy.
Well now, welcome back, you mountain folk and valley dwellers, to another edition of Art's Appalachian Antics. This is your old pal, Art Sterling West, here with you on your airwaves, keeping you company as the stars come out in our beautiful, wild, and wonderful West Virginia. Hope y'all had a grand old day, maybe caught a few fish, or just enjoyed the quiet beauty of this state got in spades. Now, y'all know me, I'm usually here to spin you a yarn, play some tunes, and maybe give you the local weather. Which, by the way, folks, looks clear for tomorrow, thank goodness. But tonight we got something a little different in our minds. Seems like the mountains are whispering a new kind of tale these days. And my phone lines here at the station have just been lit up like a Christmas tree. Now don't you worry, that's old Bertha over there in the switchboard, probably wrestling with a stray squirrel. But a lot of you out there, especially from the more secluded parts of our grand wilderness, have been calling in with some mighty strange stories. And I gotta tell you, when folks like Farmer McGregor come up from past Golly Bridge, start sounding spook, old Art sits up and takes notice. Seems like there's been talk, and more than talk, mind you, of something unnatural out there in the deep woods. Folks are describing something big. Real big. An ape-like figure, they say. And if you know West Virginia, you know Bigfoot stories ain't exactly new. We've had them since the hills were young. But this ain't quite our usual hairy forest giant. The way folks describe it, it's wrong. Too large, yes, but almost too angular. Like it was put together by someone who didn't quite understand how shoulders and knees ought to bend. They say it moves with impossible speed. Just gone in a blink between the trees. And the smell, oh Lord, the smell. Now a bear, a deer, and even a skunk, they got their own natural aroma. But the calls I'm getting, they say this thing smells like, well, one fella said it was like pine needles and ozone after a lightning strike. Another swore that it smelled like a battery factory mixed with damp earth. Just not natural. Not right for a creature of the forest. Now, I'm a man of facts, you know that. I like my coffee black and my story straight. And I'm not saying this ain't anything more than a new type of bear or a case of folks being out in the sun too long. Our beautiful state holds a lot of wild things. And when too many folks, good, honest, clear-eyed folks, start telling the same wild tale, well, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? So, if you're out there on the lonely road tonight, or if you live deep in the holler, keep your eyes open, folks. And give old Art a call if you see anything that just ain't quite right. We'll be here keeping the airwaves warm. This is Art Sterling West reminding you to stay safe out there. And don't stray too far from the light. We'll be right back after this short break.
All right, guys. We are the Beyond Adventure Podcast, where four brave souls plunge right into the realm of Call of Cthulhu. Alright guys, we're going to go ahead and go right back into the story. You guys ready to go ahead and enter Appalachians?
Let's go. Yes. Yes.
Sure thing. Yes.
Let's go!
The photographer's haunted frame. Theodore is driving his reliable, if slightly beat up sedan along a less traveled gravel road that winds toward Tommy Creek. He's taking a slightly longer route, hoping to spot any unusual detail or local oddities that might tie into his developing theories about West Virginia's strange energy. The sun is beginning to slow descent, casting long, eerie shadows across the dense tree lines. As he rounds a bend, he sees it. A dilapidated two-story farmhouse, long abandoned, nestled precisely on a collapsing rise. Its windows are dark, like empty eyes, and a single skeletal tree without leaves stands sentinel beside it. There's something about its isolation and decay that screams story. So, you get two choices, okay? Ooh. Now, you get to go ahead, you get to either ignore the homestead, or you get to go ahead and explore it.
Well, it seems way too interesting to just ignore it, so I'll definitely take a peek.
Okay. Theodore pulled his car off the ground of the road, grabbing his camera and a flashlight. This feels like a story waiting to be told, something to document. He carefully approaches the abandoned farmhouse.
Oh man, look at this place. What a mess. Well, it's an excellent place to go and search around, see if I can find anything going on here, anything suspicious.
The homestead is clearly decaying, but it's not entirely empty.
Go ahead now. I need you to go ahead and roll for your spot hidden.
Oh, that'll be D100, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Right. As he approaches the house, he might notice subtle, unvarying details.
Did you roll the 73?
Out of? You passed it?
100.
No, what's your spot hidden?
Oh, man.
Jeez. 70.
Oh. Ooh, just by 3 points, though.
You could also use luck.
If you want.
I'll use luck.
Okay.
You'd use three. I've got plenty to spare.
Okay.
So I'll use 3 points of luck.
He sees fresh, unusually large footprints in the damp earth near the porch, far too big for a human. Even a large one. They appear to have a stubbly, distorted, almost too many toes look. He also noticed distant scratch marks on the doorframe that looked like an animal's, but far too deep and methodical.
This is interesting. What is going on here? It's like some wild beast just let loose on this poor little farmhouse.
As he gets closer, enters the house. I need you to go ahead and roll for listen. This is a new one. Well, for us at least, not for the game, obviously.
Oh,
oh, is that bad?
He rolled 100. That's the worst. He
can oh,
get. That means he might get hurt.
He's deaf.
I thought
you
that was good.
Just failed.
No way. Oh my god.
Actually, for this part, it's actually he only hears creaking wood and wind. Now. It's fine. It's okay. Entering the house, okay? Assuming he enters, the air inside is frigid, unnaturally cold, despite the outside temperature. There are no signs of human habitation for years, but the feeling of being watched is plausible.
Yeesh. Why is it so cold in here? It's the atmosphere. It's giving me a feeling like being watched or something.
Something you can't hear it.
Roll for your sanity.
Yeah, next to him has sanity, correct?
Yeah, I mean sanity. Yes.
Yep.
He's going like.
Seven, almost my age.
Out of what's your sanity?
My sanity is at 65 currently.
He feels the dread, but maintains his composure.
You maintain your composure.
Oh, but I don't lose it?
No, well,
you maintain it.
Well, then again, usually don't like. Oh, okay. Well, no.
You take either a limited amount or none.
Okay. All right.
Well,
it
really
depends. Now, quickly go ahead and need you to roll for spot hidden.
A voice in the wind
that I don't know what it is.
This will actually help you out, though, because for your one loss,
we have 91.
Oh, wait. It is
91.
No, it's 19.
Actually,
yeah, it is 91.
Ooh.
I'm looking great for Theodore.
He finds nothing unusual beyond general decay. I was really hoping you could go ahead and pass that one, to be honest.
Darn.
What?
Oh, man.
As you are searching or deciding to leave, a massive shadow falls over the windows. A guttering snarl echoes from outside, shaking the very foundations of the abandoned house. A towering ape-like figure.
Ape.
It's wrong, too large, too angular, with the smell of ozone and pine appears at the doorway, blocking its exits. So you just hear this.
I thought you didn't hear nothing. Oh, shaking in here.
How did you get here?
Really? That's what you're going to go ahead and ask us?
There's no way that this thing can be real. It's like a Scooby-Doo prank.
Theodore is faced with a terrifying cryptid. He can try to run, hide, or document it.
I'm not a coward. I'm going to document this being.
Okay. Now, if you can, roll for your sanity. Well, you need to go ahead and roll for a 1d6.
Oh.
Wait, if he fails it?
Well, that's what it says right here for witnessing the creature.
Oh, but does he have to roll sanity or does he roll 1d6?
No, he has to roll the 1d6 for his sanity for witnessing it.
Oh.
Three.
Okay, so you go ahead and gain 3 sanity.
Gain or lose?
Oh, lose.
I lose 3 sanity?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Hey, it was a check from the last keeper, okay?
I know.
He was calm when he saw the moth people, remember? So, the moth man or whatever.
There they are. I thought he saw leaves. Because I defied their.
So, existence. Seeing this, he's calm as well, I guess. He's a weird journalist.
Okay. Well, now you pick to go ahead and document it. So, go ahead and roll photography.
Crappy photo?
Got this.
Good photo? Left the lens on?
Oh, for real. Make sure you roll for him.
Now, this does put you at extreme risk as well, just so you know.
I have my shutter on and it's just a piece of tack.
73.
Who's your luck? Again.
What's your photography?
70.
70.
Oh my god.
I'm going to use three luck.
The creature goes ahead and takes a couple steps forward. As you go ahead and try to take the picture, it goes, and then it stops as you take your perfect picture.
Imagine the piece
of wait. Stand back!
That's true. It's Bigfoot, so it has to run away because it's not his picture.
Whoa, he's actually in his territory. I know your weakness. Click, click.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this all over what's soon to be known as the internet.
You will likely have a heroin escape. Narrowing, avoiding.
A heroin escape?
A harrowing escape.
It was a heroin addict.
With multiple toes and big feet.
Yeah,
just the regular heroin.
Narrowly avoiding the creature, but carries undeniable proof or profound personal experience to harm the creature. So now you obviously get to go ahead and got away from the creature after you went and took the picture. It's the afternoon.
around 1:30 of day one, Dorothy Lear's sedan hums quietly as she drives towards Harmony Creek. The landscape is a soothing quilt of rolling hills and tidy small towns, a welcome contrast to the darker histories she usually immerses herself in. She's eager to review the rumored private collection of obscure Appalachian folklore that Harmony Creek Historical Society has recently acquired. This collection, according to the local gossip circling among librarians, is housed off-site. At the private residence of an elderly, reclusive collector named Miss Eleanor Vance, just in the outskirts of Harmony Creek, known for its vast, though uncatalogued personal archive.
What kind of setup is that? I'm gonna park, throw my car, open the door.
Dorothy arrives at Miss Van's sprawling Victorian house. It's well maintained, but feels dusty and somehow heavy with secrets. Miss Van's, a frail but sharp-eyed woman, greets Dorothy warmly.
Oh, hi, Dorothy. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Eleanor.
Almost well.
Thrilled to have a real librarian appreciate her collection, she leads Dorothy directly upstairs to the attic, which serves as a private archive, a labyrinth of towering bookshelves, crammed with books, scrolls, and strange unclassified artifacts. The air in the attic is thick with the scent of old paper dust and something else faint, like ozone, or perhaps old institutional disinfectant.
Also, how are you going to say ew to that if you love books? Like, you're supposed to love that old book smell.
Wait, old book smell is ozone?
No, pero it's the smell. I'm probably allergic to, I'm allergic to the dust right now.
Here, the attic is overwhelming. A treasure trove of undocumented history. Where do you begin? Do you look for specific titles or simply get to a general sense of the collection?
I'll look for a specific title.
Okay.
Eleanor.
Oh, hi, Dorothy.
So I've been coming across these weird symbols. You happen to know what they mean?
Oh, these. Go ahead and show me. What are these symbols that you speak about?
I'm looking through my papers. Once again, I forgot it. I don't have the symbol with me, but I can describe it for you.
Oh, go ahead and please describe.
It's black. It has like a weird creature on it. Right. Tentacles, I believe it has.
Tentacles. I've never heard of such thing. But I know you're still looking into our folklore. Have anything been popped up recently in your research on that?
I don't think so. Do you have a book on symbols?
On symbols? Check over here as she points to a certain direction for you to go ahead and look on.
I'm looking through the books. Interesting. I found one.
Okay, now... go ahead now and roll for library use.
If you actually find the symbol.
It's high. It's not that high.
To efficiently navigate their disorganized archives and locate their relevant materials.
No, Eleanor, your organization here, it's messing with my OCD.
She struggles to find what she's looking for, wasting precious time, and perhaps only finding irrelevant or less detailed records. Go ahead and roll, though, for spot hidden.
Eleanor, this place. Achoo!
You found something? You passed?
No.
Roll again for the advantage, since this is your mentor's house.
Okay.
You failed again.
I'm gonna head out.
Wait.
100.
100?
I thought it was 4.
Wait, with advantage, no, it's 100. So she has to roll again. Oh, and then, right?
No, I already did earlier. Oh. So you failed?
Yeah.
She struggled to find what she's looking for, wasting precious time and perhaps only finding irrelevant or less detailed records.
I forgot the symbol at home. That's fine.
It's okay. You got one more try.
Go ahead and roll for spot hidden.
Dorothy, let's just go ahead and look at
Eleanor, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. I can't. What did you ask me to look for? I apologize.
Spot hidden.
Okay. Yeah.
She noticed a very faint, almost invisible shimmer emanating from a small shattered piece of glass embedded in the binding of one of the asylum ledgers, a shard of mirrors. It feels unnaturally cold to the touch and seems to reflect light oddly.
My eyes! No, I'm just kidding. could this be the book I'm looking for?
Could be. Go ahead and open it up. Check to see what you see.
A little moth flies out. Why? Eleanor, this is a very dusty book.
I really don't care.
Eleanor, what happened there? You okay? I shut the book.
As Dorothy continues her investigation in the attic, the air grows heavier and the temperature drops slightly. A sense of overwhelming fragment thoughts begin to press in her mind, like a dozen conversations happening just out of earshot. The faint odor of this instant, Dorothy hears very faint, disembodied whispers like distant disappearing moans mixed with flashes of disordered images. Fleeting glimpse of contorted faces, impossible colors, and abstract shapes. She might feel a brief chilling touch. This psychic onslaught is a byproduct of the asylum's energies being stirred by... Roll for psychology. I almost went ahead and ruined the surprise for you guys. 28?
Yeah, it's almost...
Psychology, yeah.
You try to make the sense of overwhelming psychic impressions. So you pass?
Yeah.
Okay. She identifies the overwhelming emotions as terror and madness, specifically the fragment thoughts of countless desperate individuals. She might realize these aren't ghosts in a traditional sense, but residual thought form suffering echoes.
Eleanor, I gotta get out of here. You're not helping me. I gotta get out. I grab the book that was shimmering and run out the front door.
Are you okay, Dorothy? You seem really sweating.
Yeah, you didn't offer me water when I came in, and I'm clearly in distress. I need to get out of here.
You just wanted to go ahead and want to go right into the books? Do you want water?
No, it's too late for that.
Go ahead and roll for listen to try to pinpoint the source of the whispers.
I'll use luck. I'm not going to be like Theodore and going deaf.
Yeah, if I use luck. Oh, I mean...
Go ahead.
You pass, yeah?
Oh.
You use it?
I'm using luck.
Okay. The whisper seems to emanate from the specific point within the archive.
Oh,
a small, old, ornate wooden box tucked away on a high shelf. A faint, right? Imperceptible hums come from within it. Dorothy grapples with the psychic noises or locate the source. The air in the attic becomes oppressively thick. The fragmented thoughts solidify into a terrifying formless pressure. From the corners of her vision, the shadow seems to write in Kungil.
Yeah, I'm gonna scream.
As Dorothy goes ahead and screams, she's trying to go ahead and leave. The voices are stopping her from. The Thought Eater manifests. It's largely invisible, but its presence is palpable as a distortion in the air, a shimmering heat haze that causes nausea and distortion. Its form is fluid, amorphous, and its psychic screams attack Dorothy's mind directly. So basically, as you scream, it's screaming right at you. Its face might briefly manifest as a swirling vortex or fragmented, terrified eyes and mouths. So literally, everything's going,
And is Eleanor not seeing this?
Hence why you're screaming. Eleanor, she's staring at you, smiling, but I mean, she's.
Smiling? Stop it! No! Sorry.
So, do you want to go ahead and to confront and resist? Or you get to go ahead and try to flee?
No, I'm a weakling.
So this is a psychic attack you do.
I want to run towards Eleanor and knock her down because she, how dare she smile at me in the creepy way.
So
you
trying to fight?
Yeah, I'm going to flee. I'm not a fighter. I'm a librarian, okay? I read books.
Oh, well, Dorothy tries to quickly gather her notes or leave them and escape the attic. Well, obviously, you already went ahead and explained that she's trying to go ahead and leave already. So go ahead now. Let's roll for your dexterity. Let's see if you can go ahead and dodge.
What? This one. Whatever
six.
This one is.
That's nine.
Nine?
Nine.
Yeah, obviously.
You definitely went ahead and pass it.
I'm reading upside down, okay? Just
so you got a nine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. You obviously went ahead and gathered all your things quickly. You left. Now, also then two... Roll for spot hidden.
Good.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, for you to go ahead and roll that was the reason why she might catch a final terrifying glimpse of the Thought Eater reaching for her through the air or distorting the very doorway behind her. So, obviously, you're running through the hall. The Thought Eater is screaming, trying to go ahead and grab you. As your mentor is standing back there smiling at you, and something's come and trying to grab you as you're running out.
Oh, can I say I'm with my car and I'm juggling with the keys?
Yeah, because you're obviously successfully running out there. Now, also then too, since you ran, roll 1d6 for your sanity.
This one, right? Wait, was it that one, though?
Yeah,
1d6,
yeah. So 1.
I got a 1.
You got a 1? She goes and rides inside her car, goes in and locks it, drives away. As you see through the mirror, you just see a mentor standing out there with the creature just still screaming. Obviously, you can't hear it because all the voices went ahead and slowly just disappeared as you drove away.
And can I say I had a rock in my car and I just tossed it at her?
Luck?
It's no. Fine, it's fine.
It's late afternoon on day one. Roughly around 3:45 going on to 4. Martin Gomez drives his sturdy, no-frills pickup truck along a dusty, unpaved road
that's what I'm talking.
The heart of West Virginia's coal country.
Country roads. West Virginia.
With a pervasive scent of coal dust, but mixed with it today is an unsettling dampness, like a freshly opened grave. He's heading towards Harmony Creek, but his route takes him past the infamous Black Hollow Vein Mine. The mine entrance, a gaping maw in the mountainside, is notoriously sealed, but its very presence looms, casting a long shadow over the valley. Usually, even a closed mine has some lingering sounds over the maintenance, but today there's an unnatural stillness. The distant hum of other working mines seem muted, almost swallowed by the oppressive silence around Black Hollow.
Damn, it's hot.
He's driving a tractor.
Basically, is. As he's hearing some old country, some all my exes live in Texas.
Well, let's see.
We can end it right there.
Are there still people? What?
Oh, you want to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still working?
Do you want to drive past the mine, or do you want to go ahead and investigate it?
Are people working currently?
Yes. Oh, whoa. No.
No. Thank God. It was so hot. I can't believe these people were working extra hard just because the Lumpkins wanted what was in that mine.
The Lumpkins?
The Lumpkins.
Okay. So you got to go ahead and investigate it?
Yeah.
Let me investigate because it does seem like this was a rush job. that it seemed important, but all the mines, like you said, were closed several years ago. So why are you in a mine that is not necessary to put the lives of the Latino community in this town in danger?
You hear this first, y'all. We have Hispanics. Anyways.
Wow.
Is that even a Hispanic last name?
No. The Golumpkins are a wealthy white plantation owners that moved into town about 7 years ago and are trying to reopen the mines. For whatever reason, I don't know, but they hired my company to do that. But since we hired the only Latinos in the town, because they
guys
all went to prison, it's unacceptable for them to have us in these working conditions.
Okay. Martin pulls his truck off the side, grabbing his heavy-duty flashlight and a wrench, just in case.
Beautiful. Because I also heard that the mining carts were a little squeaky and
a little
we needed to oil those up.
He walks towards the sealed entrance of Black Hollow Vein. Now, let's go ahead. The area around the mine is desolate, but the air grows colder, and a profound silence settles. The entrance itself feels like Gap and Maw. Go ahead and roll for listen. You need to go ahead and pick up the sounds from the mine.
Here's...
39.
Out of?
17?
No.
He hears it faint, incredibly rhythmic, clanking and scratching from deep within the sealed shaft.
He raises his hands, I raise the flashlight ahead of me, and I bring the wrench up to my head. You know, like I'm lifting my head up. Who's there? I slowly move up.
Okay. Hence the shirt. Roll for spot hidden.
Spot hidden?
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, this is mine. It's got to be easy to find, right?
23.
Oh,
23. Yeah. Nice. He notices strange, inhumanly deep gouge marks in the rocky ground and crumbling support beams, as if something with immense strength tried to pry its way out. He might also spot an old, rusting miner's lamp lying partially obscured by rocks. It doesn't look like any lamp he's seen before.
It's... Can I investigate the lamp?
Go ahead, yeah.
What would I roll for that?
Go ahead and roll for your history.
I don't think you have anything, so it's going to be... You got to roll a 5 or lower.
Five or lower?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That still makes sense. Go ahead.
All right, so Gomez goes over to the lamp, and he picks it up and tries to see...
You rolled an 8. You can roll. You can add luck.
You can use your luck.
I'll use my luck.
So you can cross out
minus 5.
Minus 3. Because you just need a 5 with that.
Oh, okay.
As he goes ahead and investigates the lamps or more...
He feels, sees, and he senses an immense energy coming from the lantern.
Oh, wait.
As he looks more into it, let's say it's more, it seems to be an illusion that's getting brighter and brighter.
Don't be afraid.
I want to shoot my gun.
His let's go was perfect. Why you gotta say
why you gotta
you literally have to roll everything. Now we have to redo the whole thing. You see what we have to work with?
Sometimes secrets are hidden for a reason. Is it to protect others? Or is it because it's still waiting for the right person to complete it? Our players are slowly opening the door into the cryptic's world. But do they even know what they're getting themselves into? Or are they being led? Who knows? But we hope to see you next time if you dare to see the truth. Beyond Adventure Cast consists of Sonny Fontanez as the Keeper, Joel Ortigi as Theodore McAllister, Angie Ortigi as Dorothy Lear, and editor of the podcast, George Morales as Martin Gomez, and me, Daniel Ortegi, as Alexander Young. Intro and outro song is by Daniel Montos. Remember to follow him on his Instagram at daniel.matostjd for more of his amazing music. Follow us on our social media and check out our Patreon, where we will be posting new episodes a bit earlier than when they air for everybody on YouTube. Check us out, guys. If you guys can help us out, we would greatly appreciate it. And remember to subscribe to the YouTube and hit that bell for notifications when we drop brand new episodes. Join us for this adventure, and I can't wait to see you guys all next time.